The following you are about to hear may seem strange and bizarre, but it is our intention to bring you only documented truth. So-called modern communism is apparently the same hypocritical and deadly world conspiracy to destroy civilization that was founded by the secret order of the Illuminati. The conspirators thereupon conceived the plan for the future of supplementing the long-established secret conspiracy with an unremitting public campaign for victims among the ignorant of all nations, have failed to grasp the staggering realities of this conspiracy within a conspiracy. The revolutionary attempt to overthrow all governments and all religions in order to enslave the whole human race under a super one-world government ruled by satanic despotism. Lone voices have been raised to alert the world to the imminent dangers from the satanic conspiracy of the forces of darkness.
This voice is added to the millions around the world who seek the truth and who speak the truth. This is the Iconoclast Report with Carolyn Harris. Prepare to have your paradigm shattered.
It is the belief in the social, economic, and political equality of women. Now, this begins with the premise, of course, that women and men are inherently unequal, and that women are treated badly, and that women need to compensate for being women. Now, I disagree. I obviously am a woman, and I really like being a woman. Wouldn't want to be anything else. I love men, but I really like being a woman. As always, here on the Iconoclast Report, we do quote from documents, articles, papers, and such that are on my website, and that is called The Library. And you can find all of the documents that I will quote on the show at www.nwolibrary.com. That's nwolibrary.com. Now, when we're talking about anything, we need to define our terms. And what is the definition of equal? Well, within feminism, equal doesn't actually mean equal. It's more like the Animal Farm type of equal. Four legs good, two legs bad. Within feminism, it means that women are more equal than men. It teaches that women don't really need men. All men are inherently bad. All political systems are patriarchal, that is, dominated by men. Women are therefore enslaved and oppressed by men. And being a mother is slavery and or subjugation. Taking care of your home and your family is also slavery and oppression, because, of course, all those bad, bad men. What are the different varieties, these schisms within the feminism? Well, there are liberal feminists. There are Marxist or material feminists. There are, of course, radical feminists. And then, of course, there is gender as a category. And again, you can find all these documents at the library. That's www.nwolibrary.com. They are within the social engineering area, and there is a subcategory called feminism, because feminism is all about social engineering. And believe it or not, it is designed to destroy our civilization. But we are not going to let it. No, because we're going to learn all about it and where it came from and what it actually is for, how it's affecting us, and how it is engineering our society. On the other side, this is a very short segment, so we're going to have a really quick break, but on the other side, we're going to hear some quotes by feminists and others about feminism, and then we're going to learn about the history of feminism. So again, I see I'm on someone else's computer and somewhere other than my home. Oh, I can hear music. Okay, we're not having technical difficulties. We'll be right back on the other side of this quick break, and we'll get right back into it. Stay tuned.
Learn learn how to empower yourself and stop being a victim today.
You can practice complete banking secrecy, all while protecting your money and maintaining complete control over your finances.
The book Privacy Crisis has nearly 400 carefully researched pages that will teach you how to
live beneath the radar, escape stalkers, outwit identity thieves, prevent government phone tapping, stop criminals from hacking into your computer, make your money and assets invisible, stop wage garnishment, get a permanent driver's license, and much, much more.
You can sign up for Grant Hall's free info series at privacycrisis.com. Each course outlines powerful and proven strategies from one of the world's top privacy experts.
Here's your chance to begin learning what the pros know at privacycrisis.com. That website again is privacycrisis.com.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth a thousand keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over two decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The question of how and why the United Nations, the crux of the great conspiracy to destroy the sovereignty of the United States and the enslavement of the American people within a UN one world dictatorship, is a complete and unknown mystery to the vast majority of the American people. The reason for this unawareness of the heightening danger to our country and to the entire free world is simple. The masterminds behind this great conspiracy have absolute control of all of our...
Welcome back, everybody, to the Iconoclast Report. Again, my name is Carolyn Harris, and we are talking about feminism today. So I promised that we would hear some quotes by feminists and others about feminism. And the first one says, feminism, socialism, and communism are one and the same. And socialist slash communist government is the goal of feminism. And that's by Catherine A. McKinnon in Towards a Feminist Theory of the State, published in 1989. A world where men and women would be equal is easy to visualize, for that is precisely what the Soviet Revolution promised. That's from Simone de Beauvoir, The Second Sex, published 1952. The Women's Caucus endorses Marxist-Leninist thought, and that is by Robin Morgan from The Sisterhood is Powerful. And the next one says, anyone who knows anything of history knows that great social changes are impossible without feminine upheaval. Social progress can be measured exactly by the social position of the fair sex, the ugly ones included. And that is by Karl Marx. Imagine that. All right, so what is the history of feminism and the different kinds? Well, we're going to read from a document entitled The History of Feminism, A Short Overview from the 17th Century Onwards, no author given. It is again located in the library in the section entitled Social Engineering in the subsection Feminism. So since the French Revolution, 1789, the equality between men and women were an issue in Europe, which was primarily discussed in the so-called salon, a certain kind of meeting points of the intellectual upper-class society, which were mainly established in the capitals of most of the European countries. In the United States, the roots of the women's movement can be dated back to the Seneca Falls Declaration of Sentiments, written by Elizabeth Cady Stanton in 1848. She oriented consciously patriotic on the Declaration of Independence and claimed on equal rights for women, who have not, in her opinion, gained any freedom after establishing the new republic. In a similar way, but in this case following the Declaration of the Rights of Man and Citizen in France in 1789, Olympe de Gouges wrote the Declaration of the Rights of Women in 1791. Both declarations, in their ways different, primarily demanded the following: women's suffrage, free access to university, legal status for married women, property rights for married women, free access to the labor market and equal wages, and independence for men. In general, the liberal women's movement was a social movement promoting the rights of women in society, mostly to gain admittance in the public sphere and to be set on equal terms with men. There must be noted that this movement was not a unified and well-organized one, but can be more understood as a term that describes the different wings, currents, actions, and happenings within the field of the liberal women's movement. Other mentionable steps towards the liberal women's movement were made in the field of literature, like Mary Wollstonecraft's A Vindication of the Rights of Women, published in England in 1792, where women of the educated classes began to promote their rights of women in education and work, or Harriet Taylor's The Subjection of Women, published under the name of her husband John Stuart Mill. Similarly, Marian Evans was the real author of the writings of Herbert Spencer's On Women's Liberation. The first wave of the modern women's movement took place in the middle of the 19th century to the beginning of the 20th century. In it, women fought for fundamental political and citizens' rights for women. A radical wing of the movement, the suffragettes, were more or less organized feminists in Great Britain and the United States, who fought at the beginning of the 20th century vigorously for many years for the general right to vote, to stand for election, and equality with men, with unusual methods which had a dimension from passive resistance, overt disturbance of public events, to hunger strike. Prominent suffragists included Susan B. Anthony, Emmeline Pankhurst, Kate Shepard, and Elizabeth Cady Stanton. The fight for women's suffrage was a long-term one, often criticized, disturbed, or combated by opponents of the movement, above all men. Women who took part were attacked by society, which got partly so horrified about the audacity of some women to fight for their rights. Public opinion got slowly changed. Just several decades later, the first countries started to constitute women's suffrage, like New Zealand in 1893, followed by Australia and most of the European countries. But still today, there are countries like the United Arab Emirates who have not yet equal voting rights. However, after the fight was won in most of the countries, the organized liberal movement continued in several directions. While the majority of women did not look further, a minority understood that the quest for women's rights would be an ongoing struggle that would only improve, not satisfied, by the vote. The roots of inequality, one consequence of the first wave of the women's movement, seemed to lay deeper than being thought in the beginning of the struggle. It's like you start to feel that something is wrong. You start to look beyond. You start to ask yourself and others why it is how it is. You start to do something to change the situation you see as problematic. You start to realize that not everyone is willing to change it. You start to see your fight in a greater perspective, and finally, you will know that there is more to do than you thought in the beginning. Well, we can see from that, just briefly, that no, it wasn't just about voting rights or their beginning stated goals. It was always about more than that. Now, another ism in feminism is the Marxist or material feminism. Like the above, the the liberal feminism, the first steps were made in the direction of political participation, mostly initiated by women who came from the middle or upper middle class. Their aim had been equalization within the existing society system. Another influence of the women's movement came from below, demanding better working conditions for women by following the Marxist approach of overcoming the existing structures. According to the social issue of the time and the entrance of women in productive labor, the claim of feminists had reached the economic basis. Close to that, the rise of the Marxist or socialist movement advanced the rights of women to economic parity with men. In 1879, Auguste Bebel published his book Woman and Socialism, which was an important theoretical work that parallels women and the proletariat as a minority unit of mankind. Bebel argues that the social emancipation of women is an integral part of transforming social relations and overthrowing capitalism. Women are encouraged to take their place as equals within these societies, although they rarely enjoy the same level of political power as men. Following the mentioned ideas, in the organizing process of the working class in Europe and America, a number of women played leading roles, among them Clara Zetkin, Rosa Luxemburg, Anna Pauker, and Alexandra Kollontai. Later, in both world wars, manpower shortage brought women into traditionally male fields of work. By demonstrating that women could do men's work and highlighting society's dependence on their labor, this shift encouraged women to strive for equality. Subsequently, the post-Roots and other historical framework of the Marxist feminists who are dealing with the basic analytical principles of class contradictions. We will continue on the other side from Project Gospel. It's been right off.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilder lands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Pull back the curtain to expose the matrix on Axiom Radio with Rob Chow and Joel Bissom, weekdays at 7 p.m. on the one and only Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Something else going on here, and they haven't told you the whole story. You are the spot. When you proclaim, so they give your body to the bank in Switzerland. So your body now becomes doctor of the corporation on your way to space because you are a money maker.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Thank you for sharing your Saturday with me. Again, we are talking about feminism, and we were discussing about the Marxist feminists and what they are all about. So, to continue with that, to hold class analysis central, they changed the focus from the duality between proletarian and capitalist bourgeois class to the contradictory class relations between men and women. Based on that distinction, they have developed an analysis of reproduction as the basis for women's oppression in capitalist societies. In this concept, oversimplified, men are seen as the productive part, while women are the reproductive one. Between both exists an asymmetrical relationship, which is also visible in the realm of labor. As a consequence, female work, like housing and childcare, is less important and less valuable in comparison to male work. Close to the Marxist feminists, but considered to be different from them, the material feminists see the liberation of women by improving their material condition, which means, above all, to free her from housework, because it subjugates the women to men by making them economically dependent upon them. Thus, the major concern of the material feminists was, and still is, to provide the economic independence of women. Materialism, in this context, is used to highlight the key role of production, including domestic production, and understanding the conditions leading to the oppression of women. End quote. Now, it's really important to note here that the United Nations is working on this very principle all over the world. I did a show a few weeks ago about eugenics and population control and reduction, and this relates. I encourage everyone to read the United Nations document entitled Agenda 21. It is in the library under eugenics in the population and reduction area. It is a very long document, but it is worth reading. It's stated over and over and over how their goal was to free women from being economically dependent upon men and to free them from household labor to specifically improve their material status. This is part of an overall plan which is in effect right now. It is very organized and very efficient. They, almost every single country on the planet is a partner organization, has agreed to the Agenda 21 plan for the United Nations. And all of this is putting in the context of wanting to help women and children. And, you know, of course, who could be against that? Anyone who opposes this plan to improve the material condition of women and children, well, obviously must hate women and children. Well, you know, very tricky, very clever, you know, it's a dialectic at work. But we will see later what this actual plan is and how it affects society today. So now we are going to move on to radical feminism, and we are all familiar with that. Okay. Radical feminism emerged from among the already presented feminist currents because some women did not feel that in that way presented and included in the majority of these movements, and they did not follow their persuasion. These women were unsatisfied with the results of the movement so far and tried to reach more by following a more radical and uncompromised way. Sounds a little familiar. Radical in this context is used as an adjective meaning the root, thus radical feminists seeking the root cause of women's oppression, and their answer lie in the key word of patriarchy. They believe that the society is built upon patriarchal structures where women, but also men, are oppressed by dominant men who have more social power over others because they are in a higher hierarchical position than others. This approach also includes the possibility that women can take an active part in this form of society by overtaking the role of the dominant men. But radical feminists focus on men as the oppressors, and in the latter case, women who overtake the role of dominant men are treated as men. That sounds like a little bit of doublethink to me, but yeah, that's just me. Patriarchal structures can be found everywhere. For example, in family traditions where the man is the part of the who financially supports a family while the woman stays at home caring for the children and doing the housework. Or look at the political or economic stage. In higher positions, that would be the leader, the chiefs, or whatever, there can be a noted lack of women. Radical feminists see these patriarchal structures as the cause of inequality between men and women through dividing rights, privileges, and power by gender. Thus, they oppose existing political and social organization by being skeptical about any political action within the current system. Under this perspective, several methods of finding a way out of women's oppression were drawn among radical feminists. Some of them, like replacing patriarchy with matriarchy, which is, by the way, still hierarchical, were just supported by a minority. But the idea of supporting cultural change, which undermined patriarchy and associated hierarchical structures, should lead into a new approach of feminism called cultural feminism. The cause of this development lies in the 1960s women's movement, because many activists became pessimistic about the very possibility of social transformation and turned their attention to building of alternatives. Thus, the difference between radical and cultural feminism is primarily a matter of time. Radical feminists want to transform the society in one whole process, while cultural feminists want to build up a women's culture within the existing structures to change them slowly. Prominent radical feminists are Mary Daly, Andrea Dworkin, and Catherine MacKinnon, while prominent cultural feminists are Alison Jagar, Paula Ruthenberg, and Alice Eccles. Now, you might notice that some of these attributes of these particular splits in feminism are in effect today, and it seems kind of like they have mishmashed them all together. I mean, we can clearly see the Marxist and materialist elements at work. We can also see the radical feminism at work. You know, there is a big movement that, you know, all men are bad, and all men have an inner rapist inside just waiting to come out, you know, which is just complete baloney. All right, now we move on to something that is related but slightly different. And I do realize that I may not make any friends talking about this. There are many women who for whatever reason, you know, maybe had a bad experience at work or had an overbearing father or whatever, or maybe learned this in college, that agree with a lot of the feminist principles. So, you know, feel free to be angry with what I'm saying, but please remember that when we hear something that we find ourselves reacting viscerally to, that we have an extremely strong emotional reaction to it, please try to remember that it is something that is conflicting with our programming, and also remember that all of us are programmed in many, many ways, and it is a journey. It takes a lot of work to break through that programming, and just when we think we're awake, wham bam, we get hit with something else, and we find something else that we thought were based on our own ideas, our own knowledge, or our own experiences, only to find out that no, actually that is a widespread programming effort, and we have been programmed on that subject. Okay, so we're moving into now another aspect of this, and this is gender as a category. Well, back to the theoretical sphere of feminism, there has been a change in the way and how women's oppression is put on women and how they become fixed by that. Earlier, the biological differences between the two sexes were seen as a naturally given. Within former theoretical approaches, these differences had been concerned with the inequality between men and women and were used as an unquestioned truth. But the fact that the bodies of men and women are different becomes increasingly understood as a cultural produced difference, which was and is made by its definition within society. I hear some music, so that means we're coming up on another break. We will be right back and learn more about this on the other side. Stay tuned.
As America lifts on its last legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Learn how to empower yourself and stop being a victim today.
You can practice complete banking secrecy, all while protecting your money and maintaining complete control over your finances.
The book Privacy Crisis has nearly 400 carefully researched pages that will teach you how to
live beneath the radar, escape stalkers, outwit identity thieves, prevent government phone tapping, stop criminals from hacking into your computer, make your money and assets invisible, stop wage garnishments, get a permanent driver's license, and much, much more.
You can sign up for Grant Hall's free info series at privacycrisis.com. Each course outlines powerful and proven strategies from one of the world's top privacy experts.
Here's your chance to begin learning what the pros know at privacycrisis.com. That website again is privacycrisis.com.
The nature of the ultimate revolution with which we are now faced is precisely this, that we are in process of developing a whole series of techniques which will enable the controlling oligarchies that have always existed and presumably always will exist. Let people actually to love their search. This seems to me the ultimate hidden malevolent revolution, shall we say.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We are again talking about feminism and gender as a category. All right, in 1949, Simone de Beauvoir published The Second Sex, a profound analysis on women's role in society and women's oppression under patriarchy. Within, de Beauvoir deals with the criticism of Marxist economic reduction and Freudian determinism to uncover the origins of the definition of women as the other of men. This concept describes the asymmetrical relationship between the self-subject as the active, the powerful part, which is attributed male, and the other as the passive, powerless part, which serves as a projection of everything that the self-subject rejects and is attributed female. Actual femininity has lost all the meaning of original femininity, which has been stolen from women and whose power became attributed to men. According to this principle, De Beauvoir explains further how not only systematic oppression of women works, but how different oppressions within society are related together. Women are not simply free individuals, but members of an oppressed caste, defined as inferior by religion and science, socialized to a psychological dependency on men, and restricted in their political and economic activities by laws and social convention. In this way, she describes how standards and norms are created in a hierarchical society and why there is a need of resisting women, and also why women may not resist them. She is arguing that women must unite in a political struggle to overcome her oppression. De Beauvoir was one of the first to distinguish between the biological entities of woman, etc., example, uterus, ovaries, etc., and her role in society. What she calls femininity, which is socially constructed as a result of childhood and socialization, as well as choices and changes during the female lifetime. Thus, the central claim of her feminist masterpiece is, quote, "One is not born a woman, but becomes one." Thank you, Captain Obvious. Focusing on reproduction as one way where women can struggle with their role by rejecting maternity through abortion, De Beauvoir has contributed to the second wave of the women's movement from the 1970s onwards. Realizing that resistance against female subjugation can evolve from the woman's nature body herself, the fact that women are the one who can decide over life and death got a powerful meaning even more when the birth control pill was developed and accessible on capitalistic markets, or the struggle for legalized abortion spread throughout the world. Gender originally was introduced by Dr. John Money in 1955 in the term gender role in place of sex change. He is distinguished as one of the first between sex and gender to write about individuals for whom sex and gender were not congruent, that is, not the same, such as in transgenderism. During the 1970s, debates have arisen within the feminist movement how to define the term gender and what it means. The initial discordance about it has led later to a consensus among most of the feminist writers to use it only for socio-culturally adapted traits. The idea that sex and gender are unrelated gained ground during the 1980s. The definition of sex and gender are commonly used in the public discourse as follows. Sex refers to the biological classification of an individual, either male or female, based on chromosomes, genitalia, and secondary sexual characteristics. Gender is the perceived or projected self-identified femininity or masculinity of a person, which arise from the political, social, and cultural environment and societal views and expectations of males and females. Sex and gender are regarded as fluid categories and cannot simply be equated with biology and culture. Both gender and sex are influenced by race, ethnicity, socioeconomic class, sexual identity and orientation, and political and historical context. The theoretical political distinction among Marxist, radical, liberal, and cultural currents of feminism may initially sensitize one to particular ways of viewing sex and gender relations. These relations seek to explain the inequality between males and females in terms of sex roles in power sharing, decision making, and the division of labor. They are focused on the attributes acquired in the process of socialization, our self and group definitions, the appropriate roles, values, and behavior, and the accepted and expected interactions and relationships between men and women. The sex and gender relations are represented through gender roles and identities, which means how individuals define and can define themselves under certain conditions. To contradict this actual understanding of sex and gender in society, reviewing and questioning of truth as concept is necessary to show differences in and roots of oppression. End quote. Well, we are now going to talk about how feminism affects individuals, families, men and women specifically. Feminism inherently creates friction and division between men and women. It causes tension at home. It confuses the gender roles. It confuses both men and women. We are being taught to live in a manner that is unnatural and inherently unfulfilling because it is an unnatural. Feminism inherently creates, or at least plays upon, jealousy, inferiority complexes, and a sense of justice. Now, if we females are taught that we are being oppressed and we are being subjugated and our lives are just, supposed to stay in the kitchen, have children and clean the house and take care of everyone else and, you know, there's nothing for me, well, that plays naturally on your sense of justice. Well, I just think that's unfair. It also inherently downplays the role of father. He's not just resented, but he's deemed actually totally unnecessary. You know, all throughout history, having a child out of wedlock was a shameful thing. The child was a bastard. It had no inheritance. It was, it was a huge stigma. But you know what? Hey, that stigma has been removed now, and actually it's a proud thing. You know, that's my baby's mama. Yeah, not my child, you know, not my wife, a baby's mama. Terrible, just absolutely ridiculous. Men are now just in the way. They're an obstacle to be avoided, which of course is completely and totally unnatural. Women are now taught that they can do everything on their own, or I should say our own, being female, which is inherently unnatural and therefore unfulfilling. And, you know, I'm going to interject here. Hey, I can chop wood, I can ride a motorcycle, I can even shoot from a tank. But, of course, that's a different story for another day. But as a female and a lady, and there is a big difference between woman and a lady, I can do all kinds of things that men can do. But you know what? I am still a lady, because that is what comes from the inside. Femininity is not dependent on wearing long skirts and having your hair up in, you know, a bun and looking all old-fashioned. That has nothing to do with it. It has to do with enjoying being a female and appreciating your feminine qualities. I am the oldest of a lot of children. I have a natural protective instinct, which is one of a male instinct. But I'm also a mom, and so I have a natural protective instinct with that also. But I appreciate the female qualities, nurturing, loving, caring, and taking care of my nest. So what people are being taught, women are being taught now, is to completely go against our own natural instincts, that nurturing, that being sensitive, you know, all of these things, and being taught to behave like men. Feminism and all this propaganda also teaches that motherhood is just a pain. You know, it interferes with me time and my career goals. Well, that's inherently unnatural and therefore unfulfilling also. And along with feminism, the environmental movement, they're teaching children in school that having children is selfish. It's bad for the environment. You know, population is out of control. And, well, only stupid people have children. But, you know, nobody stops to think about, hey, wait a minute, I was a child. If my mom aborted me, well, I really wouldn't be here. And so that is that's kind of a big point. And it's amazing to me how they can spout this stuff in the public indoctrination centers called schools, public schools, and yet none of these children even stop to think, hey, wait a minute, I'm a child. Are my parents stupid for having me? Are they selfish? Oh, wait a minute. Yes. Women are not very ladylike anymore, and they are difficult to work with. Not surprising, DJ. We'll be back on the other side. We're going to read a really crazy article. So stay tuned for that.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Decoding the New World Order, past, present, and future, Monday through Friday, 11 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, The Global Reality with Josh Reeves.
And I have noted, with increasing dismay, that a number of the predictions which were purely fantastic when I made them 30 years ago have come true, or seem in process of coming true. That a number of techniques about which I talk seem to be here already, and that there seems to be a general movement in the direction of this kind of ultimate revolution, this method of control by which people can be made to enjoy a state of affairs which, by any decent standard, they ought not to enjoy, the enjoyment of service.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We learned a little bit about feminism in the first half hour, and now I'm going to read a really crazy article called She's Happily Married, Dreaming of Divorce by Ellen Tien from Oprah.com. Oh, thank you, Oprah. You can access this article on my website called The Library by going to www.nwolibrary.com. It is in the social engineering area in the subsection called feminism. And I want to encourage everybody who is online right now, you can go to the Oracle Broadcasting.com website. You can join everybody in the chat room. There are a bunch of people there talking, and you can talk about this subject or anything else that comes to your mind. So this article says, I contemplate divorce every day. It tugs on my sleeve each morning when my husband, Will, greets me in his chipper, smug morning person voice because after 16 years of waking up together, he still hasn't quite pieced out that I'm not viable before 10 a.m. It puts two hands on my forehead and mercilessly presses when he blurts out the exact wrong thing. Are you excited for your surprise party next Tuesday? When he lies to avoid a fight, what do you mean I left our apartment door open? I never even knew our apartment had a door. When the butt he buttons his shirt and jacket in the wrong buttonholes, collars and seams unaligned like a vertical game of dominoes with possibly a scrap of his shirt tail tucked into his fly. It flicks me hard just under the eye when during a parent-teacher conference he raises his arm high in the air, scratches his armpit, and then, absently smells his fingers. Oh yes, obviously grounds for divorce here. A question that I've asked myself from altar to present, both incessantly and occasionally, what am I doing here? Don't misunderstand, I would not, could not disparage my marriage, not on a train, not in the rain, not on the house, not with the mouse, and yet she just did. After 192 months, Will and I remain, if not happily married, then steadily so. Our marital status, Indiana, say, or Connecticut, some red areas, more blue. Less than bliss, better than disaster. We are arguably, to my widest range of reference, every couple. Nor is Will the very bad man I've made him out to be. Rather, like every other male I know, he is merely a moderately bad man. The kind of man who will leave his longboat-sized shoes directly in the flow of our home's traffic so that one day I'll trip over them, break my neck, and die, after which he'll walk home from the morgue, grief-stricken, take off his shoes with a heavy heart, and leave them in the center of the room until they kill the housekeeper. Every man. Still, beneath the thumpingly ordinary nature of our marriage, every marriage, runs the silent cry-on of divorce. It's the scarlet concept, the closely held contemplation of nearly every woman I know who has a child who's been out of diapers for at least 2 years and a husband who won't be in them for another 30. It's the secret reverie of a demographic that freely discusses postpartum depression, eating disorders, and Ambien dependence, often all in the same sentence, with the plain candor of golden brown toast. In a let-it-all-hang-out culture, this is the given that stays tucked in. This is the midwife crisis. Mind you, when I say midwife crisis, I mean the middle of married life kind, not the kind where you go to Yale to learn how to legally brandish a birthing stool. As one girlfriend remarked, it's the age of rage, a period of high irritation that lasts roughly 1 to 2 decades. As a colleague emailed me, it's the simmering underbelly of resentment, the 600-pound mosquito in the room. At a juncture where we thought we should have unearthed some modicum of certainty, we are turning into the clash. If I go, will there be trouble? If I stay, will there be double? Should I stay or should I go? I'm going to interject here. And within this article, Oprah.com has so thoughtfully put in some links within the article. And right after that little paragraph, it says, Oprah.com. 6 relationship decisions we have made for you. Oh, thank you, Oprah. Oprah obviously knows best. But back to the article, she says, our mothers knew better than to ponder such questions, at least not out loud in front of God and the hairdresser. They deliberately waited to reach the last straw until their children were grown and out of the house and the house was paid for. At 25, they were ladies with lady clothes and lady hairdos. Bona fide adults, the astronauts' wives. By 40, they were relics. But we, with our 21st century access to youth captured in a gleaming mason jar with pink square of gingham rubber banded over the top, we are still visually tolerable, if not downright irresistible, when we're 30 or 35 or 40. If you believe fashion magazines, which I devoutly do, even 50 and 60-year-olds are, lick finger, touch to imaginary surface, make sizzle noise, pretty hot tickets. We are also tickets with jobs and disposable income. If we jump ship now, we're still attractive prospects who may have another shot at happiness. There's just that tricky wicket of determining whether eternal comfort resides in the tried and true or whether the untried will be truer. Our mothers, so old too young, believed that marriage was the best they could get. We, the children of mothers who settled or were punished for not settling, wonder, is this as good as it gets? Our mothers feared being left alone. We crave time alone. Alone time is the new heroine. Oprah.com, do you have a hard time being alone? Oh, thank you, Oprah. Ms. Tian says, what are we doing here? We were groomed to think bigger and better. Achievement was our birthright, so it's small surprise that our marriages are more freighted.
Marriage and its cruel cohort, fidelity, are a lot to expect from everyone, much less from swift-flying us. Would we agree to wear the same eyeshadow or eat in the same restaurant every day for a lifetime? Nay, cry the villagers. The echo answers, nay. We believe in our superhood. We count on it. So, did our feminist foremothers set us up for failure? Or were they just trying to empower us so that we wouldn't buy into the notion of having to be a better half? Either way, many of us semi-bought into it. At the tail end of the baby boomer mavericks of Gen X, we still had one foot in the good girl pond, or at least the wet footprints leading out of it. In the beginning, we felt obliged to join the race to have it all. Being married was an integral part of the context, and heaven forfend we should be disqualified. Flash forward 10 years later when we discovered that we can get it all, but whose harebrained scheme was this anyway? We can get jobs, get pregnant, get it done. We can try with varying levels of success to get sleep, get fit, get control, and get those important me moments where one keeps a journal with thought-provoking lists that go, I'm a woman first, a mother second, and a laundress third. We get upset, we get over it. What we don't always get is why. A high-powered, high-earning friend discovers that her magnificently indolent husband has been having an affair with a coworker. She threatens to give him the heave-ho, demurs when he demands that she pay the rent on his new apartment, and decides to work it out. For now. Why? A woman I know, the stay-at-home wife of a mogul, a really nice mogul with multiple houses, a jet, a chef, the whole pizza pie, throws it all over, packs up her two young children, and leaves him in search of greater satisfaction. Why? I watch in frustration as my son desperately tries to talk to Will through a newspaper or a computer screen or whatever large flat surfaces fathers place between themselves and filial communication, and yet I know in my heart I would be mightily hard-pressed to remove this father from his son's house. Why? Reasons and rationalizations abound and rebound. It doesn't matter whether the infractions are big or small. At a certain point, we stop asking why and start asking how. How did it come to this? How much longer can I go on? When there are no hows left, the jig is up. I recently stood by as a clothing designer, a mother in her 40s, announced to a group of women that she is divorcing her husband. The women's faces flickered with curiosity, support, recognition, and, could it be, yearning. Not a one of us suggested that she tried harder to make it work. No voice murmured, what a shame. Because it isn't a shame. Divorce is no longer the shame that spits stain upon a womanly merit. Conventional women decree that marriage takes work, but it doesn't take work. It is work. It's a job, intermittently fulfilling and annoying with not enough vacation days. Divorce is a job, too, with even fewer vacation days. It's a matter of weighing your options. Well, it sounds like we're coming up on a break. We'll finish this article just a little bit left, and we will get into some more interesting things about feminism. The second hour of the Iconoclast Report coming up next.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
I wrote 30 years ago a fable of Brave New World, which is essentially the account of a society making use of all the devices at their time available, and some of the devices which I imagined to be possible, making use of them in order to, first of all, to standardize the population, to iron out inconvenient human differences, to create, so to say, mass-produced models of human beings arranged in some kind.
All right, welcome back to Hour 2 of the Iconoclast Report. I am your host, Carolyn Harris. Thank you for sharing your Saturday with me. We are talking about feminism, and I was reading a very strange article entitled She's Happily Married, Thinking of Divorce by Ellen Tien, published on Oprah.com. And I'm going to continue reading that and then make my comments, hopefully this segment. All right, so Ms. Tien was talking about divorce, and she said, a friend once compared the prospect of leaving her husband to leaving her child's private school. The school wasn't entirely to her liking, but her daughter was happy there. It wasn't what she'd expected, but applying to other schools involved a lot of costly, complicated paperwork, and the nagging uncertainty of whether another school would accept her and or really be that much better. Another friend viewed divorce as being akin to an extended juice fast. You're intrigued but skeptical, admiring yet apprehensive. Is it dangerous? Does it work? You're not completely sold, but then again, you could envision yourself attempting it down the road. What this says to me, other than my friends sure do come up with some awfully good metaphors, is that women don't view divorce as a scary, shadowy behemoth. It's an unpalatable yet manageable task, like changing schools or extreme dieting, that may or may not yield a better result. To be sure, there will be throngs of angry women who will decry me for plunging a stake into the heart of holy matrimony. My husband is my lifeline, I've heard said. That's bad news for the aorta. My husband and I never fight is another marital chestnut. Again, bad news, not to mention a big fat lie. Since, according to the experts, the strongest relationships are the one in which people can continually agree to disagree. My husband is my best friend, others will aver. No, your husband is not your best friend. Your best friend is your best friend. If your husband were your best friend, what would that make your best friend? The dog? When a woman tells me that her husband is her best friend, what I hear is, I don't really have any friends. But if self-delusion is your particular poison, well, that's fine, too. Just make sure when you phone in your life order, say, one self-delusion, please, as opposed to one perfect marriage. Fantasy, as we all know, doesn't deliver. Because in the end, that's basically what it's all about, getting your order right. Our day comes down to choices, and it's finally dawning on the long-term wives of the world that divorce may be the last standing woman's right to choose. We can admit that our marriages aren't lambent, lyrical, ice-dancing routines and still decide to push on together for the final flying sit-spin. We also realize that divorce is an alternative that's fully within reach, be it now or later or never. The more readily we acknowledge the solid utility of marriage, as one friend's husband put it, I'm essentially a checkbook and a sperm bank, but I'm okay with that. The more ably we can splinter the box of marital fantasy that makes us feel stuck, trapped, obliged. One eloquent swing of the axe and happiness is thrust firmly back into our hands. Well, this is not to say that dismantling one's marriage will automatically bring happiness. It's the idealization of marriage that needs to be shredded, along with its accompanying bumper stickers, "Wives make better women." If we stay because we decide to, not because our ankles and wrists have been locked into societal expectations. If, after various efforts, we finally leave, we have the confidence to be the leavers and not the left. Having choices is the cornerstone of strength. Choosers won't be beggars. Thinking about divorce is kind of like living in New York City with its museums and theater and culture, a doctor, a friend of mine said. You may never actually go to any of these places, but for some reason, just the idea that you could if you wanted to makes you feel better. Oh, I forgot this was a short segment. I will finish up with this article and get into some commentary on the other side. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Learn how to empower yourself and stop being a victim today.
You can practice complete banking secrecy, all while protecting your money and maintaining complete control over your finances.
The book Privacy Crisis has nearly 400 carefully researched pages that will teach you how to
live beneath the radar, escape stalkers, outwit identity thieves, prevent government phone tapping, stop criminals from hacking into your computer, make your money and assets invisible, stop wage garnishments, get a permanent driver's license, and much, much more.
You can sign up for Grant Hall's free info series at privacycrisis.com. Each course outlines powerful and proven strategies from one of the world's top privacy experts.
Here's your chance to begin learning what the pros know at privacycrisis.com. That website again is privacycrisis.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I promise I'm going to finish this article, this segment. Okay, and again, this article is entitled, She's Happily Married, Dreaming of Divorce by Ellen Tien. It was originally published on Oprah.com. You can find it in the library at www.nwolibrary.com, and you are welcome to join us in the Oracle Broadcasting chat room. Just go to oraclebroadcasting.com, click the little button on the left that says chat room, accept the terms and conditions, and bam, you're in. Okay, so let's see here. At the end of the article, it says, maybe one day marriage, like the human appendix, male nipples, or your pinky toes, will become a vestigial structure that will, in a millennium or two, become obsolete. Our great-great-great-grandchildren's grandchildren will ask each other in passing, remember marriage? What was its function again? What was that? Or was it that maladaptive organ that intermittently produced gastrointestinal antigens and sometimes got so inflamed that it painfully erupted? Yes, yes, it was. Until that day of obsolescence, we can confront the dilemma and consider the choice of privilege. Once upon a time is the stuff of fairy tales, as for happily ever after, see appendix. End quote. Okay, yay, we finished the article, but that article says a whole lot to me, and I think that was a really great illustration of how feminism is in action. You know, feminists go into marriage thinking, well, you know, I can always get a divorce. There's always an out. There's no, there is no happily ever after. There is no permanence to marriage. I mean, the idea of marriage is that it is permanent, and a lot of people don't know this, but you didn't have to get married and get a marriage license by the state all throughout history, okay? It's a rather recent development, and the state, the government, got involved in it to track people. All throughout history, people just had, you know, their local priest or whoever marry them, and everybody knew they were married, and bam, that was it. So, but the idea is it is a joining of two people, physically and emotionally and spiritually. That's kind of where the death to us part comes in. All right, well, so I think that, you know, feminists going into marriage with the idea of, well, you can always get a divorce, it kind of plays upon the, well, I'm going to marry you, but I'll keep my eyes open if something better comes along, which is basically it's a totally defeatist attitude. So back to what feminism teaches, how it affects men and women. Men are no longer allowed to be men. Just grown-up boys, okay, just overgrown boys. Now, you know, part of that I think is a little bit natural, but I think part of that is the fact that men don't know how to behave anymore. You know, natural male qualities of strength, protectiveness, leading and providing for their family are hated and scorned. You're no longer allowed to be chivalrous because, well, you know, now women can do everything on their own. And, you know, should you open the door for her? Well, she might yell at you. You just don't know. Should you pay for the meal if you take a lady out on a date? Well, you don't know. She might get mad. She might expect to pay for half of it. Or, you know, she might feel as a feminist that, you know, she should pay. You just don't know. And I think it's very damaging. And men are hurt and discouraged by not being needed. And that really is a natural component of being a man. And that is not a weakness, but a strength. Men need to be needed. I mean, I'm a tool girl. I'm from a long line of tool girls. All the girls in my family have tools. We know how to use them. We like to build things. We like to fix things. But you know what? I still ask my husband to fix things, even though I can, because, you know what? He needs to feel needed. And that's not out of some kind of, you know, hypocritical attitude or condescending or being patronizing to him. But, you know, it makes him feel good to do things. And I want to honor him in that way. Now, men nowadays have an extremely hard time finding a woman who is feminine. Now, by that, I don't mean a doormat, okay? I'm talking about the feminine qualities and delights in being a lady and appreciates her masculine counterpart for his male qualities. Now, feminism also really, really confuses children about how they're supposed to behave, what their natural roles are. There are no more actual positive male role models for boys. All the people that are put out to be role models for little boys are either fighters, superheroes, soldiers, or just plain out psychos. And since men don't really know how to act around women anymore, I don't mean that in an insulting way, but I mean culturally, it's very difficult in the home. And one of the things that we see is that the mom tries to boss dad around. Well, how do you think that affects the children? Okay, little girls are taught many, many mixed messages, and the magazines on the TV and movies all show girls and women in pursuit of men, which, of course, is totally unnatural. Women are not made to chase men. And being obsessed by getting a boyfriend or a man or just basically a one-night stand. While other influences teach these girls that men are completely unneeded and unwanted, and that girls and women are more equal than men. Now, of course, coupled with the lack of a father in their lives and or seeing their mom, boss, or dad around shows them by actual practice that men are inferior. So they learn to be the boss and not be able to accept the leadership of their father or their husband. Oh, yes, somebody said cartoons too. Yes, cartoons do show that also. Yes, thank you, Dave. And there's, of course, the total lack of actual positive feminine role models. Girls learn to behave as men do, and or as they are taught to. Or they're taught that men do the multiple sexual partners, stifling all of their emotional sensitivity, being the boss, having their career first, and so on and so on. Yes, actually, you're right, Dave. Disney teaches girls to be whores, plainly. Just say it straight out. Well, feminism also teaches women that most marriages will end in divorce, so women have to remain independent and separate within their marriage, which means that they are not binding together. They are not joining truly together with their husband. They are not, they are not surrendering themselves emotionally. They never truly surrender and become actually dedicated. They will get married and go through the motions and everything, but they will always have an eye out for something else, since she'll need to support herself again later. The defeatist attitude that we talked about partially caused for divorce. And, bossing husband around to show her power and her equality, and then, of course, means being more equal. All right, we're going to talk a little bit more about this on the other side. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
The Intel Squared Report, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 Central. It is where the rubber meets the road.
Exclusively on Oracle Broadcasting.
The question of how and why the United Nations, the crux of the great conspiracy to destroy the sovereignty of the United States and the enslavement of the American people within a UN one world dictatorship, is a complete and unknown mystery to the vast majority of the American people. The reason for this unawareness of the frightening danger to our country and to the entire free world is simple. The masterminds behind this great conspiracy have absolute control of all of our mass.
Oops, sorry about that, everybody. Thank you, Aaron. All right, getting had my mic muted there. Gotta love live radio. And okay, hopefully you can hear me now. I was reading an article by Dr. Henry McCow to myself, apparently, called "The Scent of Feminist Desperation." Myrna Blythe was the editor-in-chief of Ladies Home Journal from 1981 to 2002. In her book Spin Sisters, she said the media sold women a career in exactly the same drum-banging way that their mom had been sold the happy homemaker. All right, apparently everyone can hear me. That's good. The Illuminati has undermined women's natural loving instincts using the following mantras. Men can no longer be trusted. Using the Lifetime Network as an example, Blythe concluded, quote, "All men are unfaithful rats, abusive monsters, dishonest scumbags, or all of the above." Women, on the other hand, were flinty achievers who triumphed despite the cavemen who want to keep them in their place. Number two, women are victims by virtue of their sex. Blythe says the media sends, quote, one message loud and clear. Because we are women, we remain victims in our private lives at work and in society as a whole, end quote. Thus, women must have a sense of grievance, entitlement, and rebellion. The same tactic was used to manipulate Jews, blacks, workers, and gays. Number three, women should be selfish. And, quote, liberation and narcissism have merged, Blythe says. Leisure now means time for yourself spent alone or perhaps with fun girlfriends, but definitely without a spouse and kids. Endless articles preach the new feminist gospel that indulging yourself is an important part of being a healthy, well-adjusted woman. Number four, sex is not reserved for love and marriage. Magazines like Glamour and Cosmopolitan urge young women to, quote, put out on their first date, ogle men openly, and be an athlete in bed. There is no discussion of marriage or family. Such women can't trust a man enough to surrender themselves in love. Five, self-fulfillment lies in career success and not in a husband and family. The social rewards of holding down a job are critical to one's sense of dignity and self-worth, Betty Friedan pontificated, quote, in fact, most work is deeply ordinary, Blythe observes. Now, it's not saying that women can't have jobs, only that they shouldn't be tricked out of having families if they want them. Thus, many women are schizophrenic as they attempt to reconcile their natural instincts with the constant exhortations to do the opposite. The wreckage, broken families, and dysfunctional people are strewn everywhere. At the same time, Playboy magazine, etc., aimed a similar message at men. You don't need to get married to have sex. Marriage and children are a bore, end quote. Well, now we have to go into who is feminism backed by. Well, we all know that all major movements are backed by those in real power, those behind the scenes who do this all for their own ends. This includes wars, subversive movements, patriotic movements, all religions, and that means organized religions, societal movements, the organization of society, and so on. All right, so who benefits, and what is the point of feminism? Well, people just don't realize that feminism is a mass indoctrination because they can't identify the perpetrator, the means, or the motive. This is also another article by Dr. Henry McHale called How the Rockefellers Reengineered Women. I'm going to try to go quickly so I can open up the phones in the last segment. Recently, Mr. Aaron Russo, the producer of Bette Midler's movies and America Freedom to Fascism, identified all three confirming what I, and that's Dr. McHale, have been saying. While trying to recruit Mr. Russo for the Council on Foreign Relations, Nicholas Rockefeller told him that his family foundation created the women's liberation using mass media control as a part of a long-term plan to enslave humanity. He admitted that they want to chip us. Look up Rockefeller Foundation and Women's Studies, and I recommend IXQUICK, that's I-X-Q-U-I-C-K, it's much better than the dastardly Google, and you will get a 500,000 citations. The hidden goal of feminism is to destroy the family, which interferes the state brainwashing of the young. Side benefits include depopulation and widening the tax base. Displacing men in the role of providers also destabilizes the family. Well, a drastic paradigm shift is required to make sense of the world. The Rockefellers are part of a private cartel, world banking cartel that also controls the media, defense, pharmaceutical, and a number of other cartels. To protect their monopoly of credit and wealth, they are instituting a world police state, that's world government, using the bogus 9/11 attack and endless war as a pretext. Rockefeller told Russo about this plan a year before 9/11. The poet Charles Péguy said, everything begins in faith and ends in politics. The banking cartel there needs a philosophy to justify enchaining mankind. Well, that philosophy is Satanism. The cartel controls the world through a network of occult societies linked to Freemasonry, Communism, the Vatican, and organized Jewry, and that is the B'nai B'rith, Anti-Defamation League, the American Jewish Congress, and Zionism. The highest occult rank is known as the Illuminati. Modern Western culture is Masonic. It's based on Luciferianism. Freemasonry teaches that man and not God, the creator of the universe, determines reality. Now, naturally, they need to override natural and spiritual laws in order to assert their own control. They have noticed that people are a diffident, malleable creatures who prefer to believe what they are told rather than trust their own reason or perception. Thus, for example, the media successfully promotes homosexual values that conflict with our own natural instincts, end quote. Well, since feminism inherently causes confusion and division, it naturally leads to less population, less married couples producing less children equals less population. Yes, yes, there are many children out of wedlock, and the proper word for them is bastards. The many bastard children will be raised out there without the influence of their father, and they will likely go into crime, gangs, etc., and go to prison. Or their father may already be in prison. Well, the cycle of prison leads to less children, therefore less population. Cycle of gang participation leads to less children, since, well, gang members tend to die pretty young. Cycle of crime leads to prison and leads to less children, at least by that particular man. And then children growing up without a father, they're only their mother, often see mom with a series of men. She's unhappy and fulfilled, and men treat her like she behaves. Well, like a slut. We'll talk more about this on the next segment and get through this. We'll see you on the other side.
You are now listening to Oracle Broadcasting, the home of cutting edge talk radio.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
There's something else going on here, and they haven't told you the whole story. You are the star, and you are great, so they give your body to the bank in Switzerland. So your body now becomes stock of the corporation. all your major mistakes because you are a money maker.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Icon Clash Report. We are talking about feminism, so, and how it affects the family unit. Well, we're talking about how it naturally leads to less population. Young people who grow up without a father have, you know, kind of a difficult time because they only have their mother, and human beings are made to have both male and female role models within the family because that's where we learn how to behave, okay? Let's see, young people, especially girls and young women, are taught also by feminism, again, that having children is bad for the planet, being mom, slavery, and subjugation, because, of course, a child is a lifetime commitment and takes away from me time, their career, partying, shopping, their hobbies, traveling, etc. So it's a double whammy. It's not an accident. Feminism is part of the worldwide depopulation agenda. Of course, family is the backbone of civilization. You destroy the family unit, and you destroy the bedrock of what civilization was built upon. And, of course, family is the place where people learn how to behave because all the internal rules are a reflection of the external and societal rules, you know, and values, manners, right and wrong, respect of self, each other, and elders, etc. Procreation within a family ensures that the mother and children will be provided for, protected, and kept sheltered, fed, and clothed, and it also ensures that children have the input of their mother. You know, dropping children off at a daycare center is basically you're paying someone else to raise your children. I'm sorry if that makes somebody upset, but, you know, that is the truth. You know, you can have it all, but you are going to have sacrifices. You are paying someone else to raise your children. You don't know them. You don't know their values or what they're teaching your children or what they're teaching your children to say about you or think about you. That may be part of the problem of how teenagers behave, you know. Think about that. Let's see, families also where children learn how men and women are supposed to behave, their attitudes, roles, division of labor, and how they're supposed to treat each other. It's the familial roles are a reflection of how we're created. Women have the internal, inherent and primal need to make a nest and keep it, to have young and raise them, to have a spouse, and to fulfill them. And through these things, we women are in turn fulfilled. Okay, and men have an internal need to produce children also. I mean, besides the fact that it's fun, you know, it actually helps men, boys to grow up into men. So I'm going to try to quickly read this so we can open up the phones in the next segment. It is a quote of a review of George Gilder's book, Visible Man, which was published in 1978. The article is entitled The Civilizing Power of Marriage and Family by Elizabeth Wright. It says, for reasons that have been endlessly chronicled and analyzed, tens of thousands of black men have removed themselves from playing productive roles as fathers and husbands. These men are in prisons across the country, roam the streets of cities and towns, and are attached to activities that undermine the cohesion of the very community they pass through. It is this missing masculine energy and drive that is at the heart of why the poor black community continues its downward spiral, seemingly to oblivion. The loss of productive masculine input is an incalculable one. The condition of the black masses will never be altered until men are restored to their right and proper place within the bonds of family life. For those who hold firmly to the soundness of the previous statements, George Gilder's Visible Man has long been a special book. In it, Gilder first introduced the basic theme that he developed in later works, that is, when bureaucratic institutions undermine or replace the economic function of men, men are unlikely to play positive roles in the ongoing sustenance of community life. Society suffers and may not long survive when men are no longer under the influence of what Gilder calls the civilizing power of marriage and family. And now we come to the end of the family. In the mid-1970s, while writing a series of articles in Albany, New York, Gilder followed the life of Mitchell Sam Brewer, a young black man in his early 20s. The two developed a rapport, and they spent almost 2 years in an unusual friendship. Brewer's background was ghetto-typical, a record of arrest for violence that included assault, disorderly conduct, and rape. Charges were usually dropped, forgotten, or reduced. His childhood also had been ghetto-typical, that is, spent in the company of women with no close ties to men or male authority. Brewer was one of the thousands of fatherless and unsocialized youths who learned early that he need never take responsibility for most of the choices he would eventually make throughout his life. Gilder shows that the reason why men like Brewer can assume such an apathetic posture is due to a welfare state gone berserk. Citing anthropology and common sense, Gilder shows the dangers of what come when men are released from normal societal pressures to play their special role as chief providers for the families they make. To release men from this primary economic role that they have filled throughout the ages, and to make it possible for women to financially support out-of-wedlock children, puts an end to the need for family. The release of large numbers of men from the bonds and disciplines of marriage and family, says Gilder, always leads to a threat to social stability. Men find structure and purpose and become responsible men through marriage and work. Without a stable family order in which adult men civilize the young men, terror necessarily rules. No array of daycare centers, police powers, social welfare agencies, psychiatric drug or clinics, special schools or prisons can have any significant effect. When men are deprived of any family role and robbed of male discipline, they will turn to the perennial male equalizers, that is, greater physical strength and aggression. So, we see that feminism is intended to remove men from the family, make them worthless and irrelevant, all men are bad, get them out of the family, and to make women the new heads of households. And of course that household is a household of one, or you know, she may be a lesbian, so it will be a household of two women with two heads of households, because well, that's how women are. And so now we see from that brief review of that wonderful book, which I do encourage everyone to read, this is the specific intent. Feminism was developed to destroy civilization. Now, why would that be? Back to the article, How the Rockefellers Reengineered Women, by Dr. Henry Mackow. he talks about how that exactly is the point. It's to destroy women. To destroy women from being women, to destroy men from being men, and to switch roles. But I'm going to tell you something very candidly right now. I'm married, so, you know, I have my own man. But men out there, let me tell you something. Women do not respect pansy men. I'm sorry to put it so bluntly, but that is the truth. We need you to be strong. No matter if a woman pretends to be, you know, strong and a big feminist and she can do everything herself, don't buy into that. She still needs you to be strong, okay? That is the way it works, because all men have the internal, inherent, and primal need to provide, protect, and lead their family, and through this, you, in turn, are fulfilled. And that is just the way we are hardwired. Now, when men are not allowed to behave as you're designed to, you're confused and insecure, unable to make decisions and behave in a way that is unnatural, which is against your primal instincts, which, of course, causes problems. Without being a part of a family, all human beings are inherently unfulfilled. We are social creatures who are hardwired to be a part of a family, to procreate and prosper within that family unit. And without it, we are just floating along in the wind, unfulfilled, untethered, and ungrounded. And we are going to come up on a break here pretty soon. And in the last segment, I am going to open the phones. I would love to hear from men who have something to say about feminist women. Cordy is right. She loves a man to be strong, but doesn't need him to take care of her. And that is the truth. Now, you know, physically we don't women need men to physically take care of us. There are a lot of things we can do on our own, but we do need men to be strong in the way that they are made. So, oh, Dave, please don't give up. You will find a wonderful feminine woman. Just keep your eyes out. We are out there. I can tell you that from personal experience. I'm going to quickly read another article from Dr. McCow called The Men Who Ran Away, and this is an example of how men have been feminized. Oh, well, I guess we won't, because here we come up on a break. So next segment, I'm opening up the phones. Men, call in and talk to me and tell me what you think. Be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Learn how to empower yourself and stop being a victim today.
You can practice complete banking secrecy, all while protecting your money and maintaining complete control over your finances.
The book Privacy Crisis has nearly 400 carefully researched pages that will teach you how to
live beneath the radar, escape stalkers, outwit identity thieves, prevent government phone tapping, stop criminals from hacking into your computer, make your money and assets invisible, stop wage garnishments, get a permanent driver's license, and much, much more.
You can sign up for Grant Hall's free info series at privacycrisis.com. Each course outlines powerful and proven strategies from one of the world's top privacy experts.
Here's your chance to begin learning what the pros know at privacycrisis.com. That website again is privacycrisis.com.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
Pull back the curtain to expose the matrix on Axiom Radio with Rob Jobin and Joel Vista, weekdays at 7 p.m. on the one and only Oracle Broadcasting Network.
The nature of the ultimate revolution with which we are now faced is precisely this, that we are in process of developing a whole series of techniques which will enable the controlling oligarchies that have always existed and presumably always will exist. Get people actually to love their dirt. This seems to me the ultimate in malevolent revolution, shall we say.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the last segment of the Iconoclast Report, and we have been talking about feminism. Since I don't have any wonderful men calling me to tell me about your specific experiences with feminists or in relationships where, you know, you were in there with a feminist, I'm just going to keep talking. So I'm going to give my conclusion. All right. Our society and individuals comprising it, we are being engineered, socially engineered to our very destruction by many means, but one of them is feminism. And most men are taught that they cannot, must not behave as they're hardwired to. And I'm going to give my experience here really quickly. No one has ever seen me personally. I'm like the Invisible Bunny on the Jimmy Stewart movie. Just kidding. But I'm actually really small. But I'm large on the outside. Anyway, I have had three different experiences where I was in it with multiple people, and there was a couple there that was arguing, okay? And the male started becoming abusive. And I looked around, and none of the other men who were there with me would do anything. And so I had to step in and stop it, because my sense of protectiveness, you know, being the oldest and being mom, even though I wasn't a mom at that time, I have a sense of justice, and you don't ever hit women. You just don't. And so I had to step in and stop it. Three different separate occasions with different sets of people. And, you know, that's pretty sad that a tiny little female has more of a protective instinct for other people than these men who are present in the room at that particular time. I mean, that just infuriates me, and personally I hope all those men who are present will remember that to their eternal shame, that they were put to shame by a tiny little female. But moving on, you know, women were being taught to behave like men do, the polar opposites of our nature. Now, I want to point out here, men, women, we already have an enormous amount of power. We don't need any more power. Our power is within the home, okay? A woman is what makes a house a home, you know, and not even just a stupid decorating, even though, you know, women like that kind of stuff, myself included. We can make it warm and inviting and comfortable, a refuge for our husband and for our children, somewhere that they want their colleagues and their friends and their family to come over because, hey, you know, come on over to our house. You know, mom will make dinner, you know, whatever. Or conversely, we also have the power to make our house, our home, cold and uninviting, and make everyone in it totally miserable. And that's usually when mom tries to be the boss and have power over everyone. Asserting male characteristics makes everything unstable. Okay, everyone's confused and insecure, and no one wants to come over or be there. Women are the ones who teach everyone the basics needed to live. Who taught you how to go to the potty? I love men, but, you know, I really don't think it was your dad. Who taught you how to speak? It was your mom. Who taught you how to behave? Mom. Right and wrong. Respect for others, yourself, and elders. Manners, cleanliness, how to keep your house, how to cook, and so on and so on. No one would be here without mom. But no one would be here without dad. Dad is so important, and if you are a father and you are not involved in your children's life out of choice, well, shame on you. You need to get a grip, and you need to get in your children's life because they need you. If you are not involved in your children's life because the mom won't let you, oh, please look up on the internet, because there are lots of people who can help you with that. That is not fair, and in my personal opinion, that is an abuse of power by the mom. All right. in our society, of course, you know, families are discouraged at every turn. Playboyism is being promoted for both males and females. You know, women are supposed to go out and hook up on one-night stands, you know, and that's being seen as being equal to men, which is ridiculous. And perversion, of course, is taught as normal. You know, homosexuality is taught in public schools, and children are being sexualized at such a young age. They are being doing this to ensure that the children be utterly confused about their sexual role, they're actually encouraged to experiment at a young age, which of course is in contravention of all the laws, because the elite know that the more sexual partners a person has, the harder it is to maintain a monogamous long-term relationship, such as, you guessed it, marriage, later in life. And it leads to the old, well, maybe there's someone better out there syndrome, as we heard from that horrible article, she's happily married thinking of divorce. I mean, that was the perfect example of that. So, then we come to political correctness, which is evil. Okay, this is a harness that is attached to the yoke on our shoulders. It is part of the slavery. It's designed to enforce conformity and make us self-censor. And that is part of creating the society that Aldous Huxley talked about, where all differences are removed. Now, I'm going to give you a quick example. If you take a saucepan and you put a bunch of chocolate and butter and powdered sugar in there, well, they're all separate, but you turn it on and guess what happens? It melts together. You know, America's called the melting pot. Have you ever thought about that? But let's take another example. You put a bunch of marbles in a saucepan and guess what? They're all in there together, but they're all still unique, and they remain individuals. Some have a cat's eye, some are clear, some have, you know, one color swirl, some have all kinds of color swirls. I think that's a good example. But, you know, that is part of erasing all differences and making us a melting pot. We are all one. We are all homogenous is what they're trying to do, and that's what political correctness is about. So what is the solution, all right? The solution is, hey, everybody, do not participate in this voluntary population reduction and destruction of our civilization program. You know, women are naturally strong. We are the pillar of strength in our family because we have to be strong for our children, and we also have to be strong for our husbands. But you know what? Our husbands have a different kind of strength. Men, I love you. I love how we're different. I love how we think differently. We approach things differently. We have different sense of humor. And, you know, the physical difference is, you know, that's wonderful too. Who doesn't like that? Well, and I also have to say really quickly, and this is just a small observation of my own, I have to talk about lesbians here real quick. I'm sorry, but a woman who is attracted to another woman who cuts her hair like a man, dresses like a man, assumes a posture and a tone of voice like a man, you know, does everything she can to be a man, you know, and we all call that butch. I'm sorry, but you're not actually a lesbian. Because if you were, you would be attracted to beautiful, feminine women. So ha, ha ha. I think that those women are basically women who have had bad experiences with men, and they've been hurt. And you know what? I'm sorry. And also, men, I'm sorry for the women who have hurt you, who have abused their power, who have bought into this feminist nonsense, and you've had problems because of that. I just want to personally apologize for that. Now, men, please don't be metrosexual. We women, you know, honestly, we cannot respect you. Okay, I'm just going to put that right out there. We can't. Or perpetual adolescence. You know, we can't respect that either. Okay, but everybody, men and women, we need to each go with our natural instincts and be the way we were designed to be. And again, I mean, I can ride a motorcycle. I can chop wood. I can, you know, do all kinds of stuff. I can hang drywall, trim carpentry. I can shoot from a tank. But you know what? I'm a lady. I enjoy being feminine. Men, hey, some of the best chefs in the world are men. Men can cook. Mama, I mean, you know, men can do all kinds. They can sew, like, you know, tailors. A lot of men are tailors, you know. Men can do all kinds of things. So it's not about what you can do. It's about being in touch with your masculinity or your femininity. So everybody, please be part of the solution. Love you all. We'll see you next week. Take care and make sure you listen to 40 Next, or she's coming after you, and I will too. All right. See you next week.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Follow the revolution.